76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
I'm telling you, we're looking for this. I mean, here's how my crack staff works. Notice that after doing a tag team with the Onondaga guys, we're going to move over to the Geriatric Racing Fellows. Fresh Diet Frosty Orange Fago, ready to go. And talking about ready to go, we're ready to go with these two guys. And boy, oh boy, we've been looking forward to having them on for an awful long time. It is Chip Green and Chuck Ramo from the Geriatric Racing Team. Hi, fellas.
Top of the day to you, John.
Nice to hear from you, John.
Well, okay, so now all of our friends from Ireland are saying thank you.
Yeah, we have quite a big following in Ireland, Brazil. Yeah, they're pretty much always listening to us, yeah.
Well, what's not to listen to? All right, now, friends, let's go over from the top. Geriatric Racing Team got together how?
Well, we started in 2017, literally, Chip and I were going to the track. Chip kept calling me over and over again to go to the track, to Milan Dragway, and watch the cars go up and down. He didn't have a race car. I didn't have a race car. We're talking 2017. We didn't have race cars. And as we were watching from the stands, we literally had to plan out when we were going to walk over to the porta potties because, we're geriatric. We're older people. And We didn't want to have to make any unnecessary movement. So we had to wait till we had to pee really bad. And then we went down and we would go to the restroom. So the very first thing that we decided to buy was a golf cart after that because we're just too old. We're just too old for this. And that was 2017. We bought the golf cart in 2018. We sat down in Chip's basement one day, and we just started talking crazy. And literally, this is how this has become huge in just a couple of years, from sitting down in his basement, drawing some things on the piece of paper, talking about how old we are, all of our medical issues. And no kidding, that's exactly how it started.
I think it was Chuck that came up with the name, and when he said it, I thought, well, that's pretty cool, you know? I mean, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek and all the things that go along with being geriatric, and it kind of stuck, and it went from there.
It's almost amazing because both of you guys are not out of your 30s yet, and yet you're calling yourself geriatric. Okay.
That's right.
I'll walk 70 in July.
Yeah. Chip's really old, and one of the qualifications to join the geriatric race team, I had to stop taking in the applications because the only thing you had to do was know somebody who was old, and then you could join a geriatric race team, and it did. It flooded in from Canada, two from Mexico. We got them all over the place, so I had to put a stop on it because I don't have a secretary to do all the paperwork. So right now we're in the holding pad and we're not accepting any more new members.
I love the fact Chuck says, hey, Chip's really old.
John, I'll be 70 in July.
Yeah, he's old.
Yes.
Chuck's a youngster.
Yeah.
So how much youngster is Chuck?
I'm 61.
So for the people that were trying to get a voice grab, that is Chuck speaking right now. The young Chuck. I'll have you know.
Well, yeah, well, young Chuck had never gone down a racetrack until October of last year. And Rob Epler built a car for me, and it went 917 at 147 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying. When you talk about peeing your pants, I'm not exaggerating. You take a guy that's never had a speeding ticket, you put him on a race course, put him in Milan Dragway, and put him behind a car that Rob Effler built. They only go straight. They don't know how to go any other direction. And, I wet myself. I won't lie to you.
Dave just sent me a note that said, I think we're sponsored by Depends, this 515 show. So we have a lot of pee talk about this, but okay. It's what old guys talk about, I guess.
Well, hey, you had Clyde and Levi prior to those guys were a hoot. They were literally a hoot. They were
nice
they were
guys,
fun to
aren't they?
To.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So now you have a fabulous race car. Now, one of you guys have, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that a Valiant?
Yes, I have a 60 Valiant.
Ooh!
Red car with a small block Mopar in it. And I've been a racer for a long time, John. I remember going to Detroit Dragway. Actually, I've got a couple of little side stories that,
sure.
that I'm sure you'd appreciate. But I remember in 63 or 64, yeah, I'm that old, my mom would drop me and a couple of my buddies off at Detroit Dragway, and we'd go east of the track and run all the way down on the outside of the fence, down to the end of Detroit Dragway, and there was a ditch that went under the fence there, and we would sneak under the fence on the top end of the track and then run as fast as we could back on the pit side, and like we'd been there the entire afternoon. So that kind of thing, but also something a little closer to your heart, maybe Roger Lindemuth had a great impact on my life at a very, very young age.
Really? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think probably when he had his 66 or 67 Charger funny car there, I used to hang around his pit quite a bit. And at one point, Roger looked up and said something like, "Hey, kid, what are you doing?" You know, I'm 14 or 15 years old at the time. I said, "You know, I'm just watching." He says, "Well," and he almost threw a spark plug wrench at me and said, "Do something." He said, "Take the plugs out." So I got to take the spark plugs out of the Color Me Gone funny car
with
Roger looking at me, and I kept those spark plugs for the longest time. I still wish I had some, but I don't. But, I mean, and you talk about hooking a kid, yeah.
Wow. You know, obviously Randy Lindemuth, who is part of CK, I'm sure he's listening. What a great story.
Yeah.
But see, that exactly, Chip, is how they hooked folks in, how they grabbed kids. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it was kind of startling for you in the beginning because Roger, Bedside Manor was, you know.
Well, it threw the wrench at him. What does that say?
Yeah, it says you're open for a lawsuit in 2021 if that happened, however.
Exactly, but those kind of fond memories, you know, Detroit and then later on at Milan. You know, I raced at Milan probably the first time I ever went down the racetrack at Milan was 74 or 75. And, you know, I raced at both Detroit and Milan. But Milan obviously became my favorite track when Detroit closed.
Yeah.
But those memories, John, you know, we're not making those memories anymore for these kids and stuff. And, you know, when Chuck and I sponsored the two major races at Milan the last couple of years, and kids would come over and look at the cars, and I would literally take them by the shirt collar and say, "Open the door to my car," and say, "Hey, do you want to sit in the car and get pictures?" And mom and dad's eyes would just pop open, you know, and they "I can't believe you're going to let them sit in your car." Well, yeah, I will.
There, you know, there's a lot of photo ops when you go to a dragway, but so many people anymore want to keep people away. But in drag racing, at least at Milan, in our experiences, that's not a problem. We put people in the cars. We put them in. We tell mom and dad to take the pictures. Heck, I let a 68-year-old man last year start my car. He got inside. He strapped in. He started the car. Then he shut it off. He got out. And he came back later in about 2 months with tears in his eyes going, "I've wanted to do that my entire life." He said, "You gave me an opportunity to do it. Thanks so much." He was literally crying. He was so excited. He never dreamt someone would let him sit inside their, you know, very, you know, fast car and push a button and start it and feel the rumble. But that's how these people keep coming back. You said something earlier about putting people in the stands. Well, that's what we need to do, John. We got to put people back in the stands so they can start to enjoy it just like we did, you know, 20-some years ago. It was wonderful then. Like you said, it's a lawsuit in 2021.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the reason why CKIWI Radio 76, we do what we do, is because we're coming from kind of a fan perspective and also a racer perspective and a track owner perspective. There is a picture that we saw today, and we got to get permission to run it. But there's a picture of two kids, and they look like maybe 9, 10 years old. You only see the back of their heads. They're at Detroit Dragway. And you know how Detroit Dragway was probably not in the best repair? You know, but you can see like this old weathered 2x4. And when they put that fencing around it, but you see the Chevelle, he's lifting his tires, and these two kids are glued to the front of watching this car, of the fencing of where they were sitting. And they're excited, and you can see this when the guy lifts his wheels, you know, you can see the kids are almost, or you can feel the kids are almost going, wow! Because anybody who did a wheelie got a wow from any kid at any given time.
Yeah, and you have to remember in those days, too, there weren't any guardrails on those tracks. You know, you could see there was no bad seat in the house because there was nothing blocking your view like they've got guardrails and, you know, cement barriers and everything along the track now. And back in those days, there were none of that stuff. So the cars were basically wide open. Of course, I also remember cars spinning out off the track and into the grass and, you know, sliding for 50, 60 feet before they stop. But, you know, that kind of thing. It's a great sport. And it saddens us sometimes to see that, you know, we're losing tracks all over the country. Mm-hmm. And you guys are doing a great job, John. I just want you to know you're bringing this issue to the forefront. And, you know, people are talking about it now.
Yeah, John, what you're doing is what most people aren't. Number one, even though this is what you told us, Chuck, I don't want your opinion. I don't want your mechanic's opinion of who heard this. You just want facts. And people, we're tired of rumors. We really do appreciate when you're just putting people on that are telling you the truth. I would love to tell you some other stories, but if I can't back them up, I'm not going to do it. And people appreciate that kind of honesty that your show gives. And I'm not trying to kiss up, because that last $10 you sent me, I enjoyed it. But it is the truth. It is the truth.
I was just writing out the check.
I know you were. I know you were. If you know what, the kids today are staying at home. They're playing on their phones or on their computer. That's their first dosage of whatever, and that's what they're growing up to do. When you were talking about those kids on the fence, you better believe those kids have been to racetracks since then. Yeah. They were touched. They were affected by it. When Chip Green took me to the very first racetrack, which was only about 4 or 5 years ago, I was so I couldn't get away. Me and Chip have been going to these racetracks. Heck, we flew down to Ennis, Texas 2 years ago to see Billy Meyer to offer him Myland Dragway for sale. I mean, I went from 2 years never being at a track to being in a plane flying down to Ennis, Texas, meeting with Billy Meyer, which we did not get the meeting, but we did go down. We talked to the track manager. They literally gave us carte blanche there to offer the track for sale at that time to Billy Meyer 2 years ago.
Just to make sure that Billy knew that the track was available. And a sidebar to that, I met Billy back in the 80s when he was wanting to build a super track here in Southeast Michigan. I don't know if you are aware of that, John, or not, but he wanted to build one off of 275. And I was kind of like the feet on the ground for the track to go through here.
Kind of like you were the... I mean, you were the feet on the ground. I mean, anybody did any kind of research whatsoever, if it wasn't for you, Chip, I mean, you were the connection. And then, what the hell? People go, it might be too loud. We don't want this stupid thing. It's like, what? You had it all set up. I mean, look at all the work that both of you guys did to get to Texas. And it's not easy to say, look, we can put a track here, and here's the logistics of it, and this is the reason why we think it would work. And then when you talked about how much money it would, you know, generate for the community, and they slammed it down, it was like, Chip, how did you feel after that?
Yeah, it was pretty in your face. And, you know, I mean, the millions of dollars that that place would have brought in every year, you know, to the area here. I love Michigan. I love Monroe County, you know, born and raised here, and it would have been a real feather in our cap to have that quality of racetrack in the area. Of course, you know, at the time, Detroit was still open, Milan was still open, so it would have been, you know, something new and exciting. And you know, when Chuck and I went down there to see the track at Ennis, it still looks as good as it did back, you know, in the 80s when it was first built.
Yeah.
And just the technology that Billy put into the design of that track, that all would have come to Michigan. So, you know, I still lament the fact that it didn't go forward. But
see, for those who don't know and folks around the world, Billy Meyer has this track, in Texas, which is state-of-the-art. We're not talking just some guy with a bulldozer and a bush hog and said, here we go, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this would have been the crown jewel. This would probably have been the track, and you would probably knock Norwalk off its pillar if it's not, you know, equal to. Because Billy Meyer did not get anything that was chintzy cheap or not well thought out. And that track in Texas, and you're right, Chip, that track is still awesome. You know, it's world class.
It still hosts national events and, you know, and everything to this day. And like I said, you know, there's no luster knocked off that track after 20 years.
No, right.
You know, after Chuck and I visited, it was nice to get back down there and see that track. But my claim to fame after Billy flew my wife and I out there for a visit when we took a contingency out there back in the 80s. And I had a rental car at the time, And I told Judy, my wife, I said, you know what, I got to make a pass down this track. I said, there's not going to be anybody in Michigan that can say they made a pass down the Texas Motorplex. So I took the rental car and made a pass down the track.
So here's Chip Green in a K car. Doing
it might have been a K car.
It was a K car.
Doing a badass 1906 time, 8th mile.
You know. I think I had 3 people in the car, too. So.
And luggage. Yeah, okay. See, that's one of the things, because we look at it, because we read about everything that you were doing with that, and the reason why they kind of, you know, knocked it away. And yet, you look at Pinnacle, and you go, what the hell? You know, how much money did you guys put, not you two guys, but how much money did the county put in Pinnacle in Wayne?
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
one of our best friends was the head contractor there, and he was intimately involved with the building of that. And
did he get paid?
Oh yeah,
he got paid.
Okay.
That wasn't a problem. The problems didn't happen until after it was completely done, and then it fell fast. It just crashed and burned. Oh, my goodness. You're right. That's a good idea to bring that up, because that was a multi-million-dollar facility with everything they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the wrong place and the wrong time. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a waste of money.
And look at how much money, not only was taxpayer money in that,
yep.
but, I mean,
yep.
they had to move around streets, roads, sewers,
yep.
you know, everything. Yep. And it generated how much money? I'm making that sound that you, if you lost on Prices Right,
yeah.
wah, 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 wah.
You know? That's it. You're right. No, you're right, John. Right on the money on that one.
I mean,
well, you know, John, I was a teacher at Huron High School in New Boston there. And I retired from there. But the community was really excited about that track coming in. I mean, there was a little trepidation at first, you know, like there usually is with something of that magnitude. But once that place was built, the community supported it. I mean, I had students that were working there and, you know, things like that. So this was real. This was creating jobs for local people and bringing people from all over the country into that area. So, and that's what a quality drag strip does for areas. Once people get past the whole NIMBY thing, not in my backyard stuff, you know, it's a real asset.
Yeah, I mean, people were taking a look at it, and especially with your presentation about, look at the spinoff effect, and we touched a little bit about that on Onondaga. But what people don't understand is, especially if you have a world track, world top of the line track, you bring in so much in that community. Ask Indy how much, you know, do you bring in when you have a national?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, how
absolutely.
Many hotels just went up because you're going to need that? How many restaurants just opened up because you're going to need that? Yeah, it's seasonal, right. But oh my God, this is more money than you guys had by just having a Dollar General in your place, you know? So, I mean, the taxes alone, plus now the new ones are multi-event facilities, are just not drag
right.
racing.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so it's like, how did you guys, not you guys, but how did, you know, the city was so, it, they got the 1961 version of what a drag strip is. Maybe they watched too many Elvis movies, although never made a drag strip movie, but made two NASCAR movies. What the hell?
You Rebel know? Without a Cause.
Yeah. If you see that, or the Lively Set, or... Well, Lively Set, they always had really cool cars because they had the Chrysler Turbine. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But if you miss the spinoff effect, you know, because they think that you're going to see a bunch of greamy, grimy guys with brush cuts and white painter's pants that are all greasy, dirty, and nothing but oil downs and all that kind of stuff. Ain't that way with some classes this time around, kiddies? You know, it's...
Yeah. This is top notch. We've got cars now that frequent these tracks that are just unbelievable. They're show cars. They're works of art. It's just unbelievable the quality of the vehicles that are making passes now. Look at the factory super stock cars that are coming up. That Ford and Chrysler and well, not Chrysler, but you know what I mean. And GM, these guys. Chrysler's got a different name. I'm not sure what name they have right now.
Not this month, but we'll take it to be Chrysler.
Every Mopar man is raising their beer to you right now.
These automotive giants are putting their heart and soul into these supercars now, and these muscle cars now. I mean, you can see it in the horsepower these things are making now, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when you can go into, because if folks remember, even though they kind of fudged the numbers a little bit, I mean, a 426 Hemi, street Hemi, was 425 rated,
right,
you know,
425.
And that was like, wild, you got a Hemi Belvedere, wow, and now you walk in and you buy $70,000 worth of a Hellcat with 707, you know,
right.
horsepower, turnkey with warranty, you know.
With warranty, yeah, good point, warranty, yes.
Yeah. Until you warrantied it down the track too many times and go, how did that piston happen? What shoddy workmanship. We'll never have another one of these ever again. You know, where's that minivan? But I mean,
well, you know, and that's another interesting aspect of a racetrack in Southeast Michigan. You know, being that we were sponsors the last couple of years at Milan, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt how many times the big three rented that facility. For private testing.
Yes.
They were doing something there almost every single day of the week.
Yeah.
And money was being made. Everyone was using it. And we want you to know, and we can't say this. Yeah, we can. We can just say it. I think they tried to blow up the Mustangs. They were hot lapping them one after another. They never stopped. I don't remember the Mustang stopping. He would run that quarter mile as hard as he could, went down to the end, got back in line, and they had run the entire facility just to see how much torture they could put into that Mustang, and it never stopped. It just kept going.
That was the day I think we met Aaron Kaufman, was there with Ford doing some testing. Aaron Kaufman was that lead mechanic on the Gas Monkey Garage. Really,
yes.
Super nice guy. But we, the ladies at Milan called us and said, hey, come on out. We got a special thing going on with Ford Motor Company right now. And so, you know, that was one of the nice perks of being the major sponsor at Milan.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to be cool about it, but we'll tell you folks, if you've ever seen pictures of Milan Dragway, either by the tree or at top end on one of the boards, if you saw anything that looked tie-dyed, guess who did that? It's the gentleman that we're talking to right now, Chip Green and Chuck Ramo from the Geriatric Racing Team. That's their gig, kids. So if you try to think about what that was all about, you know, now you got the inside information of how that name came about. You know about how Chuck's kidneys work, you know. And now you understand that. Can you figure out their love for the game here? I think it's pretty well absolute. And also a big thumbs up for the 60 Valiant, because back in the day, that was the very first new car my parents ever bought, was a 60 with a 198 one barrel in it.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and it was that really weird green, and when it, because it was like one of the last years with the Continental kit and on the
trunk. Yeah, my car has that Continental kit on the trunk.
Yeah, and it was a strange car, only because it could fit two young kids in the package shelf and let's drive around.
And you know that by experience?
Yeah. I try to do that now, you know, but
right.
it was a unique car because the body shape was, it was supposed to be so continental looking, so European looking, you know, that Chrysler stood back and went, blah, because the Dodge had the Lancer and it was the sister car to it,
right?
You know, but it was a little bit more, but they were so rounded and they had so many lines. I mean, it was sculpture. So how did you get to have racing a 60, because it's not the most aerodynamic body?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I had, at the time I found this car, I had a 65 Barracuda Gasser, which was a street car, straight
axle. You
get to
stay.
And my brother-in-law, Rob Epler, he helped me build a 325 Hemi, Dodge Hemi. It was a 1956 Hemi, and he helped me build that, and we put it in this Barracuda, and it was my street car for many, many years. And during this time, I always go to Milan Dragway. I love racing, although I didn't have a race car, but I'd go to watch, and I'd invite Chuck, and he'd say no. And I kept after him. But I went to the wife, and I said, hey, you know, I think I'd like to get back into racing. And she said, well, you know, we only have room for one car of yours that does the special purpose. So she said, you're going to have to sell the Barracuda if you want a race car. So I said, okay, I'm putting Barracuda up for sale. And I sold it. And then I started looking for a race car. And you're not going to believe this, John, but Chuck and I flew out to Washington State to look at this car. It was on the West Coast. I looked at the car. Chuck twisted my arm enough that I gave him a down payment. And then I had the car shipped back here about, probably 4 years ago now, 5 years.
Yeah.
Probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, this begs a question. We're going to put this on pause for a second, but when you said that you asked Chuck to go to the races and he kept saying no, what the hell for? Why were you saying no, Chuck?
Well, Chuck had a cabin up north. Chuck had a Harley. He had a BMW. Chuck had a boat. I had a lot of other interests at the time, but as I got more geriatric. I had some medical problems. I said, I think I know what I want to do. I want to go really fast down a racetrack and see if I can't pee my pants. So that, you know, I might come back and regret even mentioning this.
Yeah.
There are people now listening to you in Budapest going, dig this guy.
Don't go to a Monica. They have problems there with their bathroom.
One more interesting side to this conversation, John. Both Chuck and I had some major health issues. I went through 2 years of stage 4 cancer. And that really changed my aspect. And Chuck
Chuck had kidney problems. Okay.
It doesn't have to do with bladder, so it's okay.
Chuck went to the hospital in February, and this was a couple years ago. Chuck went into a hospital and said, I think I got a kidney stone. I'm on fire. My stomach's killing me. I went in February. When I came out of my coma in March, that's when I realized, and I woke up from that point. I'd been in a coma for so long that once I woke up, once I could learn how to, what I had was an appendicitis that erupted in, for 4 days. They had eaten out most of my stomach. A lot of the intestine had to be cut and thrown away. But so I get out of the hospital. Chip gets out of the hospital. Chip lives in the street behind me. And I said, you know what, Chip, now that I came that close to dying, they said about 15 minutes because they couldn't get me off the life support. They said, I said, Chip, since we're so close, you have stage 4 cancer. I almost died in the ER. I said, you know what, we got to start doing things that we want to do before we can't do them anymore. So that's where the geriatric team actually started from. When I said, you know what, I've got boats, I've got motorcycles, I've got this and that. I want to do what I've always wanted to do, but I was afraid to. So I didn't tell my wife, and then we went ahead, and I went down to Indianapolis. I bought the Pontiac lady's car in Indianapolis, brought it back. My wife wasn't really thrilled with me, so I started selling the boat. I sold the Harley, sold the BMW. I sold I sold a lot of guns, let's just put it that way, because I was a collector. And that's how we started. We were both in medical messes. And we decided at our age, we don't have much more time. You never know when you're going to go. Why don't we just go ahead and do it now? And that's how we started this. And it's been going 100 miles an hour. We never dreamt it would go in 4 years from two old guys sitting up the top looking at the porta potties going, you have to go yet? No. You have to go yet? Okay, let's go together. Let's go together. And here we are. We flew out west to buy him a race car. We flew down to Eden Texas to see Billy Myers. You know, we sponsored Mylan with everything that we had. We put up the big sign. And by the way, we wore tie-dye shirts and bell bottoms and everything back in the 60s. I know we sound old now, but at one time we were a whole lot cooler than these kids are now. Just so you know that. And we like you, John. We like you a lot, man. You remind us of us.
All right, I'm writing out the check. But what makes me laugh the most is that both of you guys go, I didn't tell the wife, but I bought a...
We found out it's a whole lot easier that way because the time in the doghouse is much shorter.
How do you do that? How do you bring back a race car? And it's like, look, honey, ta-da!
Well, actually, John, my wife was on board with it. I think my Christmas card said something to the effect that you can get round-trip airline tickets to go look at your car out on the West Coast or something like that. So she kind of knew, she kind of had an idea what was going to happen, but she has no idea that it's gotten this intense.
Did look say, was it underlined, you can look, you know?
It might have been underlined, but once he looked at it, the gentleman had built the car, had put tons of money into it, made a beautiful car, and then, I believe what?
He had a stroke.
He had a stroke.
Yep.
He never, I don't know that he even went down the track with it. It was that beautiful. Yep. It was that done. Everything was finished. He had paid all the money, and then he had a stroke. So Chip gave him the money down. We flew back to Michigan. He had it shipped out there. So Chip was very fortunate to get a very good car with excellent bones. He was very happy. I, on the other hand, I was fortunate also because I had the Monroe Jefferson High School Auto Shop take my car for about 3 years, and Rob Epler and the auto shop, they have a drag racing team at the high school. They tore it apart. They ripped through every single piece of it and rebuilt it, and then Rob went ahead and made it go really fast and really straight. I didn't tell my wife because I've got a wonderful wife. Honey, I have a wonderful wife.
Here we go.
I love you. I've always loved you.
Oh, brother.
She's on board with whatever I want because she's such a wonderful woman.
Why are you in the doghouse? Why is the butter going on so much here?
Because I downloaded that app on her phone right before we got out here. And I know she's listening, so I love her. She's wonderful.
My man, you see, you can tell gentlemen who are younger, you now have got a textbook lesson on how to work the wife. After years of being married, you know how to finesse just around the corners. Yeah. And you're right. It's better to ask for, you know, forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
No, preach it, brother. Preach it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Job well done, you know, because even the Pontiac friends here are saying, what year is it? We should probably discuss about the Pontiac.
Well, it's a 64 Pontiac Tempest. It's been on one cover of the Pontiac magazine. It belonged to the Pontiac lady. That's who owned it. Linda Spiedel. She went into retirement and she sold the car. I saw it at Norwalk. And I said, you know what? It's got a tilt up front end. It's beautiful. It's got over 1,000 horsepower. We've only had 9 runs down the track with it when Milan shut down. We're just foot braking it. It went 9.17. I think I peed it right around four and a half seconds down there.
Comes again.
Well, am I not allowed to say the P word? I'm sorry.
No, it's one of our interns, Alan, just wrote me a note about 6 minutes ago. It said we've got 30 minutes without a P story. You know, it's like, okay.
You know, Alan, anytime you want to get behind the wheel of this Pontiac,
guess what?
It's got 900 foot-pounds of torque. It will crank you out.
Alan, you'll pee.
It's really, really quick.
I got a funny feeling we're going to change that orange to yellow pretty soon. All right. That makes sense to me. But see, you probably seen old guys like sit around a McDonald's in the morning, and see it in Romeo a lot. And they all have their, you know, they have their 250s out front, and they just talk about whatever on top of their cat hats or whatever.
Yep.
But listen to these two gentlemen. It's like, let's hit it and get it. Yeah, we realize that we may be a little bit north of 40. However, you know, I think it was Chuck that said, you don't know when you're going to go, you know, so let's hit it now. And then tell our wives how much we love them because they're the most beautiful women in the world, you know. Okay.
Well, you know what? Another thing, John, is we realize now at this stage in our life, it's how important it is to surround yourself, especially in drag racing, with like-minded people.
Yeah.
And we have quite a network of guys that love racing, that are great mechanics, because neither Chuck or I are all that great of a mechanic.
Yeah, that was a question. Who does your work?
Well, my brother-in-law, Rob Epler, is one of the best mechanics that I've ever come across. And my brother was fantastic. And I've been around some unbelievable, talented mechanic people in my life. And Rob's probably one of the best.
When you start drag racing, you really do want to surround yourself with the very best people you can find. You're the best welders, the best electricians, the best fabricators. If you do that, you end up with some really good performing cars that go straight. They stop when you hit the brakes. That's how you do it. Now, we're not idiots. We do, you know, we still do a lot of the work on our cars, but it's better to have someone smarter than me that does the final inspection of the cars. Let's put it that way. In other words, I can do what I have to get done, but you know, God bless them, when you can have extremely good people overlooking what you're doing to make sure that what you're doing is safe and fast, it's a godsend. It's a wonder. It's like having an angel looking over on you, making sure everything is taken care of. We do our work, but Rob oversees everything that goes down the track.
Yeah.
You know, would you guys, with the problem with Milan, or the pause with Milan, would you guys think about running at a different track, or are you just going to wait it out?
Well, we were just discussing that because we heard that Levi was saying that, you know, for $1 million, I could probably get a 3x5 sign. And I'm telling you, I'd love to have a 3x5 sign. I really would. That'd be great. And it's only $1 million. I'm sure I got some more guns I can sell.
Oh, well, I think that Carrie Ann Beebe has some money in her coffee cans in the back. You know, maybe she wants to join you. You know, when we were talking about your cars and stuff, we haven't really gone in depth with that because that's kind of part of the geriatric racing. The best times both of you guys ever cut was a what?
Mine was a 917 after a bladder explosion.
Okay.
My little Valiant, now Chuck's got a big block in his. I have a small block in mine, and I don't know much about the engine. And I've run 1108 at the best out of that car. But it does do a wheelie, John.
Bless your heart.
But I'm in the process now. I have a brand spanking new Stroker small block Mopar engine down at Kofel's in Ohio right now that is set to go on the dyno probably tomorrow. Or Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So we're looking to go quite a bit faster this year.
Yeah. And let me just help with Chip's definition of life. As your Pontiac people are there, as you know, a Pontiac Black is the same size no matter what. It's just mine happens to be 572 cubic inches.
Yeah.
And it really, we have gentlemen in Canada build it, and it just has enormous amount of torque, and it runs quite well. Very dependable, and I guess that's what, at our age, we want dependability. We don't want to have tear it apart after about six, seven runs. So that's what we have. We have very dependable cars. Mine will probably hit eight seconds something this year. We're foot braking at 2,500 RPMs. Chip is foot braking his. Chip has a very light car, the car that he has. Mine's about 3,000 pounds. So mine isn't up in the air yet, but I do appreciate you asking us about our cars. You know, that's the only bragging rights we have anymore at our age.
You know, we've got some really fast cars in our stables, in the GRT stables.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Last year we actually got to race with a group called the Dragway Legends Group. And we raced a couple of races at Milan under that banner. And there's some 8-second cars in that group. And that was really interesting. But see, this is another thing. This is another aspect of that's going away with Milan. Who's going to pick up their Fast Fridays? What track is going to step up and say, you know, we want the run what you run cars, and they're going to give them, you know, time. Who's going to do the Detroit Dragway Reunion? Who's going to, you know, do all these things that people came out for in droves? And that's what we're lamenting right now. You know, is we want to see that hope on the horizon that Milan will come back. The Milan people treated Chuck and I great.
Extremely well.
Extremely well. We had a wonderful relationship with the owners at Milan. Can't say a bad word about them. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that can't say that, but how they treated us good as gold. And we are missing that very badly right now. This time of the year, last year, we were knee deep in the racing.
Yeah, we were running the tracks. We had private rentals for anyone in the geriatric on the geriatric race team. We really miss Milan Dragway. We really, really, really do, John.
Who's gonna step up out there, people?
Yeah, well, see, that's almost kind of like now that it's gone, quote unquote, it's on pause. You know, now that it's on pause, now people are finally figuring out, gee, if I live in Adrian, because one of you guys beat us to it, even though we have the graphics guys here, and we're going to put it up next week. We're still going to do it, but it's one of those things where if you lived in Adrian, Michigan, and you went to Milan, now that you don't have Milan, this is how far away, and Onondaga has like an asterisk on it, but this is how far away your nearest track is now. You normally went 26 miles to Milan. Now you're going to go at least 100-something to get to 131 if you can race there, you know.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way up. I mean, Ubley's like 186, and Lapeer is about an hour, and northern Michigan is almost like 280-some miles. And I think we got – Alan, what do we have? We have for Adrian – St. Clair Shores and Lincoln Park. And that's just to tell you how far away now you got to drive with a 36-foot trailer and a full crew.
Oh, yes.
You know, if they can get out. And that's why Milan, And again, talking to Ron Youngblood and all those guys that are from the township, they want to keep that thing running.
Sure.
It's a big hole for them. So stay tuned. Guys, how can people get into the geriatric racing team on the top of the hour that we're doing right now?
They have to learn how to laugh. as much as I appreciate you asking me that, we no longer have a secretary. We're the geriatric. I'm pretty sure she died. Yeah.
There is a smell out back.
We're looking for a secretary.
When we started, we literally were in the basement going, hey, this would be neat. And so we made these nice packages, and we send them out to people, and they fill them back out. They gave me $5. That covered their patches and everything. We were happy with that. And then it went to 10, then 20, then 50. And I said, you know what? We got to stop. We got people from everywhere. And we got people literally all over the United States wanting to join the geriatric race team. And I don't blame them. What I can offer them is this. Go to our Facebook page. We're posting stuff on the Facebook page. All the stuff that we know from Milan Dragway or from what other...
Or from you.
Or from you. I'll tell you what, John. You are very informative. The radio station has done a wonderful job here. Obviously, you do your homework. You know things before we know it. And, heck, I just like interacting with you because I was talking to our lawyer... You know, from the, from the Findling Law Firm. His name there.
Okay.
And that was last night. He sent me a letter. I sent him another letter back last night about the drag strip because I acknowledge that they are God in this situation right now. I have my advertising is still in the pole barns at Milan Dragway. I would really love to have my advertising back. I can sell that out. I can be rented. I have a price. I can be rented.
We could be sponsors.
Yeah, we could be sponsors, but all my signage is tied up inside the fence line. And so I wrote the lawyer there, the man who's in charge of the receivership, and asked him if I could possibly get my stuff back. I'm still waiting to hear from him. I know he has a lot of things on his plate right now because no one wants to see Milan fail. On the other hand, I would really love to have my signs so I could go on and maybe talk to Chad and Levi about maybe having some of my signs there. I'll give them money. I would love to give. What do old people do? We give away our money. Ask the telemarketers. They'll tell you. That's all we do.
The address of CKIW is 507. it's amazing that David M. is going to have a hard time. You're right. He's got a lot on his plate right now. And he has, I mean, he's got some oomph. I mean, here's a guy that did the court appointing for the punch train when that went down.
Okay.
So this guy has, you know, he's not somebody that just came by. So he's got some oomph behind him, and it's not his first rodeo. So interesting how this is going to go. But at the top of the hour, you know what, Chip? Did we not, like, thank your wife?
No, we didn't thank his wife. I don't believe he downloaded the app on her phone either.
Yeah, okay, because I'm thinking somehow, some way we have to get for the equal... document here that we should probably, you know, that's the second most or the first most beautiful wife, and then you can have a fist fight with Chuck. But you know,
well, we both married Italian.
Yeah,
oh God. Okay.
Yeah.
We're both living on the edge. Okay. We don't know what's going to happen. We try to get into our cars when we leave the office and
tick tick, tick 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 tick.
Yeah. And we're not even joking about that part.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, don't go by Detroit Beach anytime soon. Oh, you know, now, especially now. You know, God.
John, you're killing us.
Yeah, don't say that to an Italian wife. All right.
No. Hey, look, I just wanted you to know with Clyde and Levi, when they were talking about their track being better than the Michigan roads, we literally spent 3 minutes laughing on the floor. That was so funny. That was absolutely so funny. Those guys are wonderful. They are truly a hoot, and I can see where... that racetrack is going to do well.
We will be frequenting.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you are because, man, they could really use the fannies in the seats right now. But, I mean, just starting up and getting back together again. But, good Lord, gentlemen, what did we not cover in 1 minute besides thanking somebody?
I definitely have to thank my lovely wife, Judy.
Here we go.
You know what? We're going to celebrate 49 years of marriage this year, Jim.
Wow. Wow. And so now do you want to tell her about the new car you bought?
No. No. I already told her about the new engine that she didn't know about.
Yeah.
You're telling me way too much. And, John, you're really bad. We've been trying to hide for years. Oh, my gosh. He's not, he's relentless. He's relentless. You need to be on the geriatric race team. You really do.
These guys are the wildest, and they're the best. See, now you know why. We had to have these guys on. I mean, beyond belief, they are. It is Chip Green and Chuck Ramo from the Geriatric Race Team. If you want to know more about them, they are there on Facebook?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Facebook, the Geriatric Race Team. Just that simple.
Unbelievable, but fun. Guys, honest to God.
We do have a website, but we don't know how to work it.
I paid a lot of money. I don't know the passcode.
Guys, we got to have you back. Hang on the line.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Thanks, John.
You're quite welcome. Hang on the line. We want to talk to you a little bit after. CKWI Radio 76. We did go a little bit late today with affiliates down the line, the CKWI Radio 76 line, but we're going to make it up tonight on the Detroit Sports Authority. He's coming at 7 o'clock here from Studio B. If you like Detroit sports as much as they do, you'll love the Detroit Sports Authorities at 7 o'clock tonight. Right now, for you Pontiac people, a little bit of Wide Track here on CK.
Stronger than a 454 with a blower. We're the new CKIW, iRadio 76.
So what did you think? I mean, they are exactly what they are. I mean, what a contrast of styles, but my God, wouldn't you want to have a beer with these two guys? I mean, you'd want to have one with Clyde and obviously Levi, you know, but Chip and Chuck, oh my God, you know, you almost envision a road trip with these guys. Oh my God. You know, we talked to him off air a couple of weeks ago. And we just knew that these guys were going to be dynamite on the air. And they are. And they're the most, what you hear is what you get. I mean, talk about how genuine can you get. You know, these are the guys that remember drag racing as drag racing was, you know, and could still be. And the beauty of this is they put their money where their mouth is. And we ain't kidding you, kids. When you see those tie-dyed signs over there at Milan, that ain't 50 cents a week to put up there, you know? And yet these guys go, let's go for it. Yeah, we kind of cheated death a little bit here, you know? But let's go for it. Hell yeah! I mean, what else? You know, these guys, it's just amazing. We've already told them off mic. We're going to have them back on as soon as possible because these guys, you know, Chip and Chuck, and Jesus, God, we almost could have them as their own show here. Just give them a mic and let them run. You know? We love that. Because sometimes in drag racing, it can get a little bit, people are, they're full of themselves, to say the least. And then there's sometimes where you meet some characters that you kind of go, But, oh, my God, it's like somebody opened up the door and Chip and Chuck came in, you know, and they're like your favorite relatives that came up your driveway. What a riot. What a riot. What a great time. We were blessed to have everybody on today. Whew, man.